Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are happening in our lives yet like never before. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can we celebrate the Lord as we sit down? All right, so last week we started something really beautiful. We said it was from... it was an attempt to spur us from graduating from the realm of infancy into maturity. Isn't it? We spoke quite deeply, attempting to show the difference between a mature Christian and what? An immature Christian, according to the scriptures. Are we together? Funny enough, there was a scripture I wanted to quote that I spoke everything but did not quote the scripture last week. It was from Apostle Peter. So I'll start with it today. In 1 Peter 2:2. Before we continue, turn to your left and right. Look at the two people by your side with a smile first. Just look at them. Smile. Some people are bored. I know why I say smile. I can see some people's face. Just turn, look at. See, Pastor Phil. I say, turn, look. You don't look at somebody's wife. Turn and look by your left and right. People can forget themselves in church. Left and right. Man of God, turn left and right. No, look. Look. All right, now shake them warmly, left and right, and say, Jesus loves you. And I love you too. Hallelujah. All right, so let's just have a basis for today before I quote 1 Peter. Let's see 1 Corinthians 3:3. He said, for you are still carnal, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. You see, the most amazing part of this scripture or this event is that these people were people who looked spiritual. The church in Corinth looked very spiritual. Please pay attention. I know you may have come across those sayings out there by a few men of God. And it's true. The church looked very what? Spiritual. You know why I say looked spiritual rather than say they are spiritual? Because here's what Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying they are you are still carnal. For where they are what? Envy and what? Strife. And what? Among you. Can we read together? For you are still... Everybody read that out. Want to read. For where? Alright, so Paul is like they are behaving carnal. They are behaving like mere men. Alright? I think I'd seen a rendition that spoke that they are babes. Children. I can't really remember the rendition yet. Well, let's stay with this. So, if you are carnal, it means you are immature. Because as a Christian, you ought to be spiritual, not carnal. Are we together? You ought to be what? Spiritual, not carnal. All right? Please pay attention. Not even your friend should distract you. Satan can use your friend now. Now, as I'm talking. Any friend that is making you laugh, Satan is the one moving. So, calm down. You know, some of you don't know Satan can use your friends. Satan can use your friend, I mean, your friends. Even Jesus sat down eating with the 12. Satan entered one of the disciples. You see that? You are not even Jesus yet. You think he will not enter your friend. So, right now, if any friend is giving you laugh, making you laugh, that friend is connected with Satan. Alright? You see, I use laugh. I know I use laugh. You are laughing at the wrong time. They are saying, look ahead, look ahead. Looking ahead. During the word. Okay. So let's continue, right? So this proves they are carnal and they are yet immature and babes in the faith. Are we together? But this church was a very spiritual looking church, in quotes. Spiritual looking, but not spiritual. Are we together? They looked spiritual, but they were not spiritual, in that you could find diverse manifestations of the Spirit of God. You know, diverse manifestation. This was a church Paul had to write and categorize manifestations of the Spirit. He called it gifts that people today are misunderstanding. You know, misunderstanding in the sense that some people think I have my gifts, you have your gift. You know, that's a misunderstanding of Scripture. Nobody has a separate gift and somebody has a separate gift. It's not like that. All right? And I think it's even some people, they take it to life also. You know, they say this one has the gift of this, you know, and all that. Well, I don't know if it works for life, I think, to an extent. But when it comes to the things of God, healing is not my gift, then revelation is your gift. It doesn't make any sense. Why can I heal and I don't understand the Bible? Are we together? Or you can see you have word of knowledge, but I have, what will I say now? What? Give me one. Interpretation of tongues. You have word of knowledge. So when you speak in tongues, I can interpret. But you know, it's just funny. But it may be happening yet, but it doesn't mean that is the equilibrium. That's where God. That's a standard. What I mean by yet is that you may be in an assembly like this, and in church, you find out that somebody is more, you know, flowing in certain dimension of the Holy Spirit. You can see somebody flowing more in the prophetic, another person flowing more in this, another person flowing more in that. That doesn't mean that's the zenith that the Holy Ghost wants for each of them. That's what they may have tapped into yet, but that's not the equilibrium where God wants them to end. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because if it is the Holy Spirit, right, and we all have not a measure. Do we have a measure of the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit? All right, at baptism, we all receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so if we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then it does not make any sense to say he allowed only a measure of the manifestation of his Spirit. No. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But it makes sense to say what I may have touched in God, you may have not touched in God yet. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But God wants us to touch the entirety of his person. The Bible says in the book of 1 John 3, the Bible says in verse 6, that if we know God, we cannot continue in our sin. So God wants you to what? Know him so that you will not continue in your sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. He wants you to know him so that you will not continue in your sin. So you see, if the Bible says God wants us to know him, that simply means that God expects you to know him. He wants you to know him. He's available for to be known by you, an individual. Are we together? Individually and as a body. He wants us to know him and experience him individually and as a body. Are we together? If God wants us to know him, that simply means it doesn't make any sense to say God is limiting himself in a certain dimension in our lives. Because if I know God only in the dimension of this and you know God only in the dimension of that I can't say I know God, and you cannot say you know God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And there is no difference between us and those in the Old Testament, because they only met God at certain dimensions and gave him different names that he did not give himself. Are we together? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But when he came through Jesus, he said, when he came as Jesus, I mean, the Bible said, he said, he that has seen me has what? Seen the one that sent me. So Jesus Christ is the definition of God. Are we together? Let's say it together. One, two, go. Jesus Christ is the definition of God. So when you see Jesus, you've seen God. All right? And Jesus is the Word. That simply means the Word of God is enough to teach us everything about God. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes. The Word of God is enough to teach us what? Everything about God. Not some special experience like some people are looking for. I always tell you, all right, that the Word of God in the Bible is enough to teach you everything about God. Are we together? Are you here this wonderful evening? So it doesn't make any sense. So the church in Corinth were experiencing God individually at certain dimensions. It was so intoxicating that Paul had to write to curtail whatever experience they were having so that they will not misunderstand God and start behaving carnal. You know, even though they were already behaving carnal. He heard that people were praying in tongues, people were healing the sick, people were working in the gift of prophecy, yet Paul still heard that they were still doing amebo, backbiting, and all of those things. So he had to write to them. Are we together? How can you be praying in tongues? How can you be laying hands on the sick and they will recover? How can you be doing that and you will still talk against your neighbor? You still get offended in church? You still talk against your leaders? How can that be happening? So Paul said, listen, I put it to you, you are carnal. You are immature. Fulfilling the scripture in Matthew 7 that says, some say I did this in your name, some say I did that in your name, but you tell them, away from me, you workers of what? Because I never what? Knew you. Yes. And I've told you before, don't allow the mercy of God cause you to destroy yourself. I tell people the mercy of God can, you know, if you misunderstand the mercy of God, you may get yourself destroyed. Listen very carefully. I know what I'm saying. You know what I mean by that? Some people, because they see how that God is very, very quiet towards foolishness. I think Paul wrote that in the book of Timothy. That people should not misunderstand. I can't really remember it now. But that people should not misunderstand the grace of God and misunderstand the mercy of God. It is the end that nobody perishes, but that all comes to what? So why God is quiet and nothing seems to be happening when you are doing all the worst things, is not because he's foolish, but because he truly wants you to finally repent. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. But some people don't see his quietness as approver, you know. So for instance, now you are a minister of the gospel and you observe that even though you sin sometimes and climb the stage, you still see the presence of God happening to people. You may not misunderstand God and think God is okay with whatever you are doing in secret, especially when Satan inspires certain people, you know, to come and start saying, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Alright, you can write it and sign it that I say Satan inspired them. It's called the doctrines of devils. That's what Paul called it. Doctrines of what? Devils. There's one thing we can never argue with, that God is holy. And it has nothing to do with anything darkness. Alright? It's a law. It's a constant. I don't care what kind of doctrine, what kind of experience you may have had. If it boils down to you thinking that God permits sin, the free flow of sin, because of what he has done on Calvary, then something is wrong with your spirit. Let me read something I saw this afternoon, and I think it will bless you so much. It will bless you so much. Now listen. It says, grace removed the barrier, it did not remove the altar. Grace removed the barrier, it did not remove what? The altar. Now listen, I'll continue so that you understand. The veil was torn, not so that men will stop coming, but so that men could finally come boldly. Alright? The veil was torn, not so that men will stop what? Coming, but that men will finally come what? Boldly. Thirdly, grace did not abolish prayer. Grace abolished the distance. Alright? Grace did not what? Abolish prayer. It abolished the distance between us and God. Are we together? Now, grace did not abolish fasting. Grace abolished the idea that fasting purchases what Christ already paid for. Grace abolished the idea that fasting purchases what Christ has already paid for. Meaning we are not fasting to cause God to do something. We are fasting because God has already what? Done something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I keep on reading. It said grace did not abolish consecration. Grace changed its motivation. Alright? Grace did not what? Abolish consecration. It changed the motivation for consecration. We are not getting consecrated in the Lord to the end that we prove that we can pray enough and are more spiritual enough. No, but to the end that through us, God can touch nations for himself. Are we together? We are not consecrated to become accepted. We consecrate because we have been accepted. Amazing. Do you understand that? Should I read again? Grace did not abolish consecration. Grace changed its motivation. We are not consecrated to become accepted. We consecrate because we have been accepted. And here's a scandal of our generation, he said. It's a pastor that wrote this, and I copy Pastor Daly. One Pastor Daly. I'm not sure you all know him. It says, we have more access and sometimes less appetite. Men who believed they had to climb mountains, climb them. Men who thought they had to tarry all night, tarried. Now we preach that the veil is torn. The blood has spoken. The throne is accessible. And yet we barely enter into the throne. Something is wrong when superior revelation produces inferior devotion. Superior revelation seems to produce what? Inferior what? Devotion unto God. And I've never seen a generation like this generation that claim to have a superior revelation, but what? Inferior devotion to God. Very inferior. Are we together? I don't like the idea of moving out. Watch all those people, please. Hallelujah to Jesus. A superior revelation, but very inferior devotion to God. We're in a generation that think they know it all, but the proof, I've been saying this for weeks, the proof they know it is dyed hair. Men putting two earrings, not even one. 2 years, putting nose rings, that they understand grace. I was talking to somebody one time. I said, you don't know how powerless certain songs are today till you carry those old hymns and begin to sing. You don't know how powerless they are. It's because it has been hyped so much with some little touch of afro. And when you dance, you forget your brain. So you think those songs are old school and powerless. So you really sit down and play them and listen to them over the wordings, over and over again. You'll be so amazed the power of God, you know, you experience. The wisdom of God in such a time compared to what is happening today. Today, gospel music is more about the sound, more about the lights, more about how you look. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the look is not even nice. Worldly looks than revelation and consecration. And when we talk, it seems as if we have, you know, we allow anything to fly. Like I was hitting a very useless idea the past 2 weeks now. Someone will come on live TV, anything that comes up. You know, Paul told us in scripture, this is not the culture of scripture. Apostle Paul said, when one prophesy, he should sit down, let the other judge. Why in a generation now that somebody can just stand up and be saying his mind, and people will be assuming that that's the truth. He said, when one speaks, when a prophet speaks, let him sit down. Let him not think that's a final verdict. He said, let the others judge him. Judge that prophecy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We have somebody sit down and tell us, God steered me to go and minister in the club. My call has to do with club and that and that. And I'm just wondering, what is really happening to our generation? And when you talk, it seems as if you are being the I too know kind of person. But how do we express ourselves? How do we say to people that this thing they are saying is not of God? Because it seems like a lot of people are seeing these ideas as welcome right there. More because people already have itchy ears looking for what they want to hear. If we leave people to be moving the way they are moving, I don't know if some of you saw that video. I can't even post that kind of thing on my status. A church in Canada. I don't know if some of you saw it. They threw a party and they were dancing and rubbing themselves, men and women, in church. With collar. Pastor is there with collar. In fact, he was a bishop. Bishop. And they say, yeah, they are just celebrating Jesus. It is small, small, it started. Things that we left club. Some of us who went to club, say amen. So you were careful not to make that mistake. Things we left club, we only saw in club, we are now coming to see in church. Even hype man now is in church. Hype man. hype man is in church currently. We are trying to replicate because we are not enjoying church. Church is seeming boring. So I follow Jesus, but these things have to follow me if I must stay this church. It's not nice. And when we talk, the explanation will fill 3 pages. You explain lamb slain, blood on the mercy seat, and there's nothing you will not explain. But stand up and pray. Listen, I'm not being proud. Call those boys or those girls. Have a time of prayer with them. You see how shallow they are. Very shallow. Empty. Just say them, let's pray. That's why it's very difficult for me to even talk down some certain, you know, hyper consecration apostles these days. Because the truth is that they should be doing whatever they are doing. They are far better. They are far better. And I love that kind of boldness. I was telling my wife one time, I was excited when I was watching the wedding of an apostle. He's well known today. During his wedding, they played one certain song. He did not keep it calm. He said, who did that thing? Wedding scatter. Change that, my friend. Change that guy. There's something he has to protect. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He didn't care whether it was his wedding day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a little bit extra, but it's worth it. I was saying the other day, for a generation, you know, they don't like this truth. If you talk now, though, he's you too, he's on you. I remember one time somebody said, I preach against sin enough, like I don't sin. You know? So since we're sinning, we should just keep quiet to sin, right? The proof is on the podium. Somebody wants to sing now. Chest is out. The whole chest is out. Some even wear, in fact, it will come to a point some people will not wear singlet and will sing on stage. Not this stage, because even if I'm in heaven, you will die that day. You will die. I'll say, God, permit me this time to do something, just one thing, God. It is boom, 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 boom. You just hear. Hallelujah to Jesus. Some of you is this, how do they call it now? These hypes and vibes and what are the right words? Am I saying the right words? Energy. That's what you think Christianity is all about. Well, let's do real stuff now. Let's pray. You'll be running away. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. We'll run away. I'm not being proud. I'm being very factual. Are we together? And we can see it. The other day on Sunday I was speaking. I know some people will go back home and say, Pastor is judging. Well, the Bible never said we should not judge. It depends on the kind of judgment you are talking about. The Bible says, judge all things. Yes, discern it properly. Choose what is right from what is wrong. The Bible said, when one is skilled in the word of righteousness and his senses are exercised, he can tell the difference between what? Right and wrongs. In other words, God wants you to grow to that point that you are capacitated enough by his word so that you can tell what is wrong from what is right. That is what he meant for in the promise of Jeremiah when he said, I'll put my law in their hearts. Nobody needs to tell them wrongs from right because I'll put my... Meaning, as long as we know Jesus, who is the light of life, we can tell what is not of light. So he didn't give us laws. He gave us himself. He gave us a life to live in himself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And we can, through his life, discern what is not of his life. Are you here tonight? And that's why I said, even if I'm the first person, I truly don't care. In this church, and I'm going to say it 1 billion times, I don't care what the whole world think. Nobody should sing any song of anybody that plait hair, put nose ring, put earring as a man, except for women. Nobody, in fact, if you put nose ring as a woman, don't sing the song in this church. That's my own stand. Are we together? Yes. You can sing it if you think it's nice for you at home, but don't sing it in this church. So please, I've told TGC, write all the songs of people that do not wear earring and be practicing all of them. Anyone that wear your ring and don't, we don't want that power. Let them keep the power to themselves. I hear people say things, but these songs are blessing people. I don't believe that. I don't. It is easy to write nice songs. It is very easy. Imagine Michael Jansen write a gospel song. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but remember, I think at the end of his ministry, music ministry, is it ministry I should call it, musical career, I observed that he really loved Jesus. Are we together? But imagine him at his peak singing a gospel song. Do you know it to sound nice? Huh? Speechless. Even that one is sounding like he's spiritual. It's not Michael Jackson that will sing and people will fall on the ground without doing la ba la ba la ba la ba la ba la ba la ba. You go with your girlfriend, she's on the ground, you'll be wondering, what is happening in this place? So if he had sung, if he carried the Bible and composed a song, who would like it? One time I was singing a song and they said the person stopped singing gospel before she died. I said, but I like this song. How do we do about this thing? It's so powerful. It's so nice. Although her case is even far better because she really did not sing all those songs that they used to call private parts and the rest. You know? Yeah, songs like that. You listen to a song, somebody is describing the woman's body, describing sex. Then you now see somebody doing like this. You now say, Pastor, I'm suffering from secret sin. Why you not go suffer from secret sin? Why? You are interfacing with spirits. You know, demonic spirits. And you think you not suffer from secret sin? Then imagine you are now a gospel artist. You listen to the song and you want to give us a gospel version. You bring it with demonic spirits. Because you have listened to demonic things. See, this is how God sees things. As long as the person that brought that sound does not give allegiance to Jesus. Alright? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He does not even want anything from it. Keep it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did the Father say? Nobody should eat from it. What did Adam tell Eve? He said, don't even go nigh it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Paul, at a certain point, he was speaking about some Christians who are very stubborn, who will come to church and they just want to lure people into the wrong way. I think in 2 Corinthians 10 or something. He said, abstain from them. I'm not talking about those who need help. I'm talking about those who want to destroy people in church. You know those kind of Christians? They know what is right from what is wrong and they are insisting to do what is wrong by all means. Are we together? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So I spoke about that and I'm saying it again and I want the whole world to know. I really don't care what you think about me. God made me the head of this church. Are we together? This particular church, he made me the leader. And this is my verdict as led by the Spirit of the Lord. Nobody should play or sing such kind of songs here. Go sing them elsewhere. Are we together? If they like, let the song say, ain't 5 angels fall. If you check very well, they are demons. They are not angels. So that's it. We'll continue. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. So they were walking in some dimensions or some measures of the Spirit, but they were yet immature. And so Paul said they are carnal. They are children. That simply means it is possible to pray in tongues and be carnal. It is possible to prophesy and be carnal. Are we together? That you pray in tongues does not mean you've come to the zenith of Christianity. And let me correct something. There is no such thing as my gift is praying in tongues and your gift is interpreting the tongues and your gift is prophesying and your gift. There is no such thing as that. It's a misunderstanding of scripture. Alright? The gift of the Lord to us is the Holy Spirit and the gift of His grace. Are we together? Now the Holy Spirit is in all of us, isn't it? Nobody has a measure of the Spirit. The Bible says we have received all of us the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Alright? In fact, let me put it like this. As the Bible says in the book of Joel, it says, I have poured out, God speaking, He said, I have poured out my Spirit upon all flesh. except you are saying you are not a human being. But God has poured out His Spirit. And for those who believe the gospel and believe His name, He has given them the right to receive the Holy Spirit, all right? And not a measure of the Holy Spirit, but what? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. But you see, when the Holy Ghost comes in, let's say 20 of you, for instance, now, you experience Him in a certain dimension yet. But that certain dimension should not be interpreted as the whole, as the full dimension of the Holy Spirit. Don't think what you are seeing yet is all to the Holy Spirit. This sister may be prophesying so much. This sister may understand the word yet so much. This sister can lay her hands on the sick because they've really focused on that area. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And so they are seeing the Holy Ghost in several dimensions. It doesn't mean that it is excluded to you. What you are seeing is excluded to you and to you. If it's like that, Paul the Apostle would have not said, in the same part of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, he said, covet ye the best gifts. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But he's telling you to covet. And if Paul is telling you to covet, the Apostle Paul, is because he understands that that's not a sin. So that simply means if I see something in my sister's life or my brother's life that I like from God Almighty, I can collect it. And what how you collect is not going to use it. Of course, you know what I mean. You humble yourself for grace to come. Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? Because even though it's working in the life of your sister, you are receiving what is working in her life from God. So you must receive through what? Humility. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Paul was going somewhere. He was going somewhere because he saw that they had backbiting. He has been addressing it before. First, they had a lot of problems, backbiting. They were praying in tongues, so stubborn. Nobody can talk to them. Hatred, you say, come by two, they come by five. Very familiar things with what we're experiencing today, some for some department, probably. And yet, when it's time for tongues, capital letter tongue, then when it comes for disobedience, capital letter disobedience. They are not correlating. So Paul had to write to them. Covet ye the best gift. Instead of being jealous. Probably there was jealousy there. Covet it. Tell the Lord you want it. Be humble towards the person that is manifesting it yet. Because God gives grace to the humble. You know why it's difficult for a lot of us to receive from people who are close to us? Pride. Pride. Say, God, you have to understand. This girl may be my mate. You have to understand. That is flowing in her does not mean she's my mate. I senior am. Carry your seniority, go heaven. Let your seniority go and heal the sick. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain? As long as it's grace, it is humility. It is through humility you must receive it. As long as it's grace. When you see the grace of God, don't put age in the front. Let age not be a distraction. It is through humility you tap into God's grace. Are we together? Very important. In fact, sometimes the vessels may not be even helping matters. They may be too lousy. Too lousy, too casual. We found out something. One of my friends was talking to me years ago. He serves with Christ Embassy. So he said, I don't know why some of the most anointed men of God I've seen in this world are the most casual men of God. Is there one time when Reaza and Pastor Chris just came inside. We didn't believe. He said, I didn't believe because I was just new. He said, he came inside and he looked at the busy and said, oh, you play so terribly. Then people started laughing. Then when the busy started playing, he said, oh, you're playing better now. And he started cracking jokes. And we were wondering, is it not the man of God we see on TV that says, oh, the glory of the Lord is here. Blah, 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 blah. Imagine you now live in such a man of God. You know, some people, when they live in men of God, they want men of God to be behaving like men of God. Hey, how are you all? Bless you. And lift your hands. Take power of the Holy Ghost. All right, continue what you're doing. So when they come and they see the man of God so casual, like, is this the man of God? That's not what we see on stage. Hallelujah to Jesus. The man of God has to live a life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He has to live a life. Like when somebody saw me playing football, they said, Jesus, let me professor. I was hearing it outside. Is that not Prophet Simon? Oh my God! Oh my God! And I was playing, I think I played rough that day, Seth. You know, some people want to intimidate me in the field. I went somewhere and I didn't introduce myself. Before the training started, somebody said, Prophet Simon! I said, oh God. A new place, I wanted to express my football ability. Because I didn't want anybody to know me as a prophet so that I can do my mind. I can play my mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now they say prophet, now I have to mark with righteousness. I can't play hard again. When I play, I have to say sorry in the name of Jesus. You know, somebody told me one time, I said, you know, prophet plays very hard. But the reason why I like him is that if you're on the ground, you will always come and touch you and say sorry. The thing will just weak our body. One time, somebody fell, so I left the ball. I was running to him. I said, sorry. Somebody now said, Pastor, not be touch me this, I beg. Not be touch me this, I beg. Give us pass, more, we'll score. Go. Will they score? They go back, go talk, sorry. I said, brother, this is football. It is not... So sometimes I like to go somewhere where I can express myself. I can say, oh boy, give me two pass, give me two pass. Oh boy. Well, immediately they say, prophet, you have to say, hey, hello, play the ball. pass it through, right? Done. Next time we want. I know English is not sweet when you are playing football. It's not sweet. It has to be vernacular. Oh boy, have fun now. Give me two pass now. Now one for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's a life to live. So sometimes the most anointed people, they are still human beings. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. They have a life to live. Just like you see me and my wife playing, I have to be reminded her sometimes I'm Prophet Simon. It gets to a point, say, hey, calm down now. This is a prophet. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Just a joke. So sometimes they are very casual. They don't even want those showcase of honor and respect. They don't even want it, some of them. But you have to do it anyways. Are you listening to me? It doesn't only work for the gifts of God. I mean for the demonstration of the Spirit. It works for everything in life. If somebody knows something that you don't know, the way to receive it is not by saying, my guy, if they teach other people, you know, go teach me. Wait till you go gain if people know me, where they close to you, no. And we start this thing together. We start this life together. My guy. That's why some of you, when people make money, you will be saying, telling people you know them. You started small, like, that's like we were moving in the barracks those days. Yeah. In away street, two of you were everywhere. Now it's for me, for you. You are announcing it to the whole world because you are proud. Instead of you to go with humility, you're like, Johnson Alpha. They are saying, Mr. Johnson, Comrade Johnson, Commander Johnson, Dr. John, you just come and... As everybody is saying, yes sir, you want to show that you and Johnson are on a different level. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So as people are saying, you see people even greeting Johnson and the rest, you know, how far my guy? Why? Johnson is like, oh my God, you would have not done that here. And like, wait a minute, what is this about? Maybe you again. You may be this, but I'm your guy. That's how you start causing trouble. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Not to the one you think deserves honor. Some of us don't feel some people deserve honor. You know, some people used to measure people's respect. Say, how many years in me? How many years? 25. I be 32. Now me go, they greet this boy. Ain't they mad? They measure the person's respect. But probably the person is your pastor. The person is your leader. What will you do? I'm not saying I'm 22. I beg you. Do I ever look 22? If I tell you 22, will you believe? Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. They want to know your age so that they will measure your respect. Measure it, I mean. One of the first times in this town when I got my first car, I used to stay in a particular place. I didn't know that anything about me changed. I saved though and I was able to buy the car. When I bought the car, I just passed somewhere. As I came out, people were just by, obviously. I was wondering, what I was thinking they are talking to somebody on my back. Because I wanted to ask a question about a particular thing. So I came down, instead of, you know, I didn't know that I would have the power to say, boom, 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 and somebody can run and come. But me, I came down, I locked the car, so I went to them, good evening. And, obviously. I was like, and I turned my back, nobody. I said, referring to me, said, okay, I was actually asking for a particular street in this place. And they say, okay, no problem. just come. We could show you. Just the drive. I said, no, you don't have to do that. Just explain. He said, no. I had to check my hand rest if there was 500 naira, because I know it's going down. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I was wondering. And I observed it so much. Immediately you come out from car, your respect increase in the sight of men. Men will deceive you. Human beings. You'll be wondering, what has changed about my life? Same jokes, same looks, probably same clothes. But because you came out from car, your class have changed. That's why I always tell young pastors, if you allow this world deceive you are finished, because even spiritual people, so-called spiritual people, they do like that. They rate men of God based on what they have. You get the man of God, get car, you they see issue. Okay, I think he's anointed. It's only a demon that can prove that. A demon. What he say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, and the demon beat you up and tear your suit. That's what we can tell. Are we together? So don't do that. People do that. People measure people's respect. Now, my friend, we grow together. But the person is not a man of God. The person is not a pastor. You can't. I know if me, I cannot. John Cena, my guy. Me? Sometimes God will call your junior brother that you change his pampas. Like Miriam. Can you remember Miriam in the Bible? And Moses? After you have changed his pampas and finished, like Mosiah now, probably. God now call Mosiah. And one day you look at Mosiah and say, afternoon, sir. Say, me, Mosiah. Afternoon, sir. God forbid, Barton. I know the kind of money I don't give this boy for this life. I know. I changed his pampas. That Miriam was changing Moses' pampas. God did not call me and say, now you old pass. He called Moses. His hand was upon Moses. Imagine Jeremiah now, that God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I've called you to be a prophet. He now entered now his second born or last born. And they are telling prophets to go and wash plate every time, which is not a bad thing. You wash. Some of you say, I'm a prophet. I will not wash plate. I don't go wash plate. You will wash plate. As long as you are last born, wash plate. It is part of the training. But imagine Jeremiah now grows to a point. And he says, thus says the Lord. He says, Jerry, now you they talk here. Maybe his name now is Junior, because they've forgotten his real name. They now Junior. Or Smalley. Smaller. Now you they talk. Wait, which one, prophet? Which he carry you connect, prophet? You they mad? Go back home. And Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord. Then they now make Jeremiah feel unkind. Jeremiah now goes back to the father and says, I cannot tell these people, I'm only a child. God now tells him, shut up! That was Jeremiah's case. Never say that. You're not a child. Go back. When he went back again, people are like, are you okay? But God does it. He does like, he does things like that. And that's why when you sense the grace of God at work in the life of a particular person, honor that grace. Honor it. I tell people that people are suffering so much in this world, not because God cannot do it, but because their honor level is very small. The anointing you cannot honor can never work for you. If the anointing, like, let it be pouring, fill this church and be flowing out, as long as there is no honor, you cannot tilt that anointing towards your direction. It cannot flow towards your direction. God never allows a demonstration of the Spirit around the atmosphere of pride. He doesn't. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And that's why Miriam, at certain point, when she felt like she had the right to speak to Moses, because she was his elder sister, that was what deceived her. When God spoke through Moses, she felt like, if nobody can tell Moses, let me tell him today. Nobody could do it. Everybody was scared of Moses. Aaron was scared. The people were scared. Miriam said, now my junior brother. Even though she did not say it, it was highlighted in her mind. She remembered all the pampases she has changed. Is there anything like pampases? Pampas, sorry. She has changed. And she took the bold step and went and said, Moses, I disagree with you. Now, I always tell people, while I teach young pastors like me, some of them I mentor, I said, what do you think made Miriam, who is a sister of Moses, to think his leadership was wrong? There is no leader in this world that other people that are following him don't think he's making some wrong decisions. There is no leader. If Miriam can think her brother Moses was making a wrong decision, almost everybody would think that a leader was wrong at certain junction or is wrong at certain junction. It's the truth. She felt he was wrong. Now, who spoke to Moses? God. Moses tried to implement what God said. Miriam felt like Moses was wrong. Meaning there are many times God will speak to us and you may think it's wrong because it makes no single sense to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And she dared to speak up. And when she spoke, the Bible says she became the first person that had what? Leprosy. One of the first persons. Let me not say first person. Like I'm sure before somebody will prove me wrong. To me, I felt like that was the first time it happened. If it happened before, I did not see it in the Bible. That was the first time for me. Leprosy. She had it. God did not say, consider her, she is the elder sister of Moses. No. The angel of the Lord was given an instruction. What was the instruction? When it comes to the one God has selected, touch not thy anointed, my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. It's a law in the spirit realm. That simply means angels are obligated. They have the civil right, the kingdom right, to strike anybody that goes against the anointed. I mean legitimately. Not that people will do wrong things. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? That's why one time I was so scared when I heard Pastor Chris made a statement. When he had a situation where him and his wife were divorced. And we all know about it. And one time on TV, he said, I heard people saying that I did this and I did that. And that's why. He was very casual, just speaking. I believe he's one of the strongest men of God. Not because of the healing anointing, but because of his heart in this world. He said, I just wish you are right and make sure you are right. But if you are not right about what you are accusing me of, know that I am a man of God. There was this holy fear that got into me. People don't know the complication of that statement. Meaning he's telling you that if you are accusing him, just make sure you are right. But if you are not right, understand that he is a man of God. You know what that means? Did you hear anything like cause there? It's very, very complicated. Meaning as a man of God that you are touching the wrong way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Accusing wrongly. Know there are consequences. But that's not even the vocal point. I'm talking about receiving from the Lord. How that many people cannot receive because of pride. Do you know sometimes God can bring salvation to the home through your younger brother? I'm telling you, God can bring salvation to the home through your last born. It may be difficult for everybody to receive because he's last born or younger brother or younger sister. But God can do it. In fact, one of the interpretations I gave to Hebrews 12 when it says we have come to the city of the firstborn is that you have come to that place of responsibility. As a child of God, you have come to that place that now you have taken upon yourself the yoke of responsibility. That if things are not good around you, if we come anywhere and things are not okay and you are there, there's a problem. You don't understand your place. We should be able to come into any system and see that it's very organized because you are part of the system. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We should be able to come to your family and see that it is very organized because you are in that family. You may labor to enter into that wrestle sometimes because there are people, Satan will raise your siblings to fight you. I'm not saying, necessarily demonic, but you know what I'm trying to talk about? Because they know your past more than anybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But you have to bear that yoke. You will pray. In fact, I used to tell people, if you really want to grow in intercessory prayer, start with your family. Because some of us that are seated here, I can tell you boldly, you don't even believe that your junior brother, elder brother, junior sister can be born again. Some of us seated here. If we would say it, it used to give you laugh. Say, one day Isaac will become born again. You don't know Isaac. That would be the reply. You don't know Isaac. Isaac pray in tongues one day. Isaac become born again. I know my brother. And I mean, know my brother. Forget that thing. It's all this the way they preach. It will not pass the first heavens. Because you've heard him communicated. But isn't it not amazing that some of you have had people who you think are stubborn come back home one day and they are completely changed? Have you not seen that situation? That should prove to you that nobody can resist the power of God's word. Are you listening to me? And that should give you hope to go and preach this gospel to anybody you see. There are some of us that we see some kind of people, we just know that the gospel cannot have its full course on them. There's always just see somebody, we know that the gospel, if this one and the gospel, they are mutually exclusive. Don't waste your strength. That means you don't know the power of the gospel. I don't know if those people are completely changed, but I remember one time they say, Kenya West, this one, that one is now born again. And Christians are like, be careful, it's end time. And I'm like, what kind of a statement is that? How can you say Kenya West repenting and whatever repented is sign of end time? Maybe if you said it right, I would have agreed, but it's so strange and funny the way they are saying it. They look down the gospel. If I hear that Nicki Minaj and Jay-Z are now praying in tongues, I will not be scared. I will not be shocked. And some people are smiling as I'm talking. Say, Pastor, do you know who Jay-Z is? I will not be shocked if Jay-Z is leading prayers tomorrow in a church. The Bible says in a twinkle of an eye, pew, there will be a change. That's how the change of the world comes. Somebody can just be sitting and something hits the person. He has made up his mind, he's changing. That's how powerful the word of God. You see, the revelation of God's word, the speed of this light of God's word is greater than the speed of light, natural light, that we all know. You know, they say there's nothing as the speed of light. But there's something higher than the speed of light. It's the speed of revelation. It's higher than the speed of light. This regular light. Paul explained in scripture, in 1 Corinthians 15, the effect of God's word. He said, in a twinkle of an eye, at the blast of the last trumpet. That's figurative. You know, don't take it literal. Because some people think there will be a blast one time. Boop, 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 boop. Then people will start having accidents. Some people will just be flying. You know, I've spoken against that several times. I'm still going to say it again. I don't believe in that. Hallelujah to Jesus. According to the Bible, I don't believe in rapture. Alright, some people believe in it. And we shouldn't have a problem because we don't believe in that. But if you think we should have a problem, then fine. But look at the scripture and vet. The Bible never told us anything about rapture. And that's my stand. No disrespect to anybody. Pastor word of Matthew 24, wrongly misinterpreted. I've done it several times. The days of the second coming, the Bible said, will be, how did he put it? It said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, two will be in the granary, one will be taken, one will remain. Alright? As it were in the days of Noah. So I asked the question, in the days of Noah, which people left the earth? The righteous or the unrighteous? Which people remain upon the face of the earth? The righteous or the unrighteous? It was the unrighteous people that left the earth. It was the righteous people that remained the earth. Are we together? Yes, that's what the Bible said. That simply means if we liken rapture to the days of Noah, it will be good not to be taken away. Do you people get what I just said? So Paul said, we that are alive and shall what? Remain. Contrary to the popular belief of the rapture. That said, as we're sitting here now, in many movies, pastors don't always go. So as we're sitting now in this church, some people just fly, pew, and the pastor will remain. And probably his wife will go. I don't know how they do those their movies. If you have watched it, pastor's wife used to go, pastor don't used to go. Assistant pastor will go. You see, they are trying to paint a picture that pastors are not always, Jews are not always good people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Secretary may go, treasurer will not go, you know, and things like that. Then the funniest part of this whole event is that there will be accident. Do you understand? Like, because people will be, if you look at it, it is logic, it is not revelation. They calculated the thing where if rapture would just happen and people could just fly, then what if people are driving? There should be what? Accident. It's calculation. It is not revelation. So imagine now Donald is driving and he just left his cloth. And I think the same people leave their cloth. So he leaves his cloth and he leaves. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. The car will be on motion, probably is driving to Abuja. So the thing will just go, woo! He just jump and hit one guy, boom, on the head. And, you know, I just wonder whether there will be deaths on that day of rapture. Because people, if people are leaving trailer, do you understand what I'm trying? Pilots now goes. My goodness. And they now say people will not die. So I think the plane will land well. Because it is even conflicting. They say there will be no death. Because people will try to kill themselves and the death will not happen. For instance, now if I trick myself, I will not die. I will not suffer for 7 years of tribulation. And in that 7 years now, the reason God, the window of forgiveness of sin will be closed. We will pay for our sins with our own blood. Somebody say adulterous gospel. That's what we call an adulterous gospel. I don't know how people sit down and believe this. Like you sit down, they school you like this. You know, let me share some event that happened while I was growing up. I was talking to one of my friend Remy recently. I told him, see, this was my perspective. I didn't used to say it that too, but it was in my heart so static, like a constant. I did not become a Christian. I knew who I used to be. I didn't believe in Christianity a long time ago. Forget that my father was planted so much in church. I used to say it every time. That's why I didn't follow them to do any fasting while I was growing up. I always used to go and eat outside and clean my mouth. I truly didn't believe it. The day I now became truly born again, I didn't become born again to believe every nonsense. I told somebody, I said, I don't know how people see God. But even if I read the scripture and I see what the Spirit of God has interpreted for several years, alright, and God appears to me now and says, Simon, why not believe that? I'll say, God, because you did not say that. Somebody asked, what if God? I said, God cannot go against himself. He's the Word. And the Word cannot be broken. It's like a straight line. God cannot say something today and say something tomorrow different. It must be interconnected. We don't want to go deeply into history, but we would have shown you the genesis of this belief. It's not spirit-based. It's not God-based, the belief. This belief was that's why we are saying don't emphasize experience beyond revelation. The rich man in the story of Lazarus, when he died, I've been saying this several times. When he died and was at this junction where he could see he was in hell, then he could see several righteous people at the bosom of what? Abraham. Then he now saw Lazarus, isn't it? And he found that they were cool there and he was suffering at this other side. What did he say? Dip your hands in all of those stories so that I can quench my thirst and etc. Then suddenly he said, please go and tell my brothers that they should not live lives, you know, their lives anyhow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Blah, 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 blah. What did Father Abraham tell him? According to the Bible. Abraham said, there will be no need for that. Nobody needs to give them a special message, a special experience. Like we all say today, as a special encounter so that they believe. Because sometimes I hear men of God say, you need an encounter to believe. You don't need an encounter. You need revelation of the Word. Your change is a function of the revelation of God's Word. Not an encounter. If by encounter you mean encountering the Word, then there you go. It's okay. But if you mean one being appearing to you and saying, hey, do not. I've given you nations. And you know, sometimes I'm wild when I see how Christians react to some of these experiences. Somebody says, I saw a being. The being said, are you the one that want to take over the world for Jesus? He said, yes, I'm the one. Then the being has a very long tail and say, I will not allow you. Then you look at the being and say, you cannot do me anything. The being say, let's bet. We shall see. Then you see somebody, when he hears that thing, he will not be like, he wants his own. He wants somebody to come and tell him that, why do you want to take over this city? I am the goddess of the waters. And if any rising apostle does not tell you this kind of story, message have not started. So you see, anybody that is now thinking he's an apostle by call is formulating his own story. And honestly speaking, some of these things are lies. You truly will come to that point to realize it. You come to that point. One time I heard somebody, and I don't mean to hurt the person by this example I'm giving. He says, many years ago, a being appeared to me, tall, fair. Then one time I was hearing another of his videos, he said, when I was growing up, the girls I used to like are tall, fair girls. I said, oh, now I get the connection. And the name of that being was the spirit of lust. So one of the other time I heard him say, my speck were tall. I said, oh, I think I understand. It was your problem that appeared to you. It was not a territorial spirit. It was your territorial spirit, your own territorial spirit. So calm down. Tell somebody, calm down. I was talking to a friend, I think 2 days back. I told him, I said, if it comes to all of this, plenty, I said, I'm not interested. He said, I said, I'm not interested. Me, I just want to be teaching Bible in church. I let choir be singing song. I don't have anything again to do. There are a lot of things I don't do if you observe me. Sometimes when they are doing mid-year Thanksgiving, I used to do like I don't used to watch all those things. We are preaching to God. The day we feel like doing Thanksgiving, we'll do Thanksgiving. If we don't feel like doing, we keep on. Because every day we thank God, don't we? Every end of the month we thank God, don't we? It's not like I'm against, but I'm just telling you, it's church should not be more of activity based. Calm down, that people are doing it does not mean you should what? Do it. Now, Father Abraham said, the Bible that has been said, the Torah, the writing of the prophets, he said, if they did not hear the writings of the prophet, they will not hear us now, even if we give them an encounter. That simply means from God's perspective, the word of God is enough to change you, nothing more but the word, not any special encounter. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you, church? Are you here tonight? So you must be word-based. Tell somebody to be word-based. I remember Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory. He said during his days, he said, you will all be gone and I'll be here. And they say, why? He said, because I'm word-based. I stay with the Bible. Who still has a lasting ministry till today in all of the God's era? Can I hear again? See, today there's Rhema Bible School producing giants. His ministry is still flocking. Trace most of the God's generals. We're not saying they didn't do well, but for most people who were word-based, their work is still standing. Are you all listening to me tonight? Very important. And I think this is why a lot of Christians are not grown. They are not mature. Paul speaking to us in the book of Acts of the Apostles, I think 20:26, he said, I commit you, brethren, to God and the word of his grace that is able to what? Build you up. So what can build you up? God by his word through the Holy Spirit as you attend your local church. Yeah, I like to add that. Because some people, they have this pride. They say, I can sit in the house. Where is church? Church is me and you. Now we be church. As we sit down for a house like this, are we not a church? For instance, now I am pastor. You are deacon. You are congregation. Church has complete. Those proud statements. I cannot go to any church and be hearing all those fake pastors. Those are the voice of foolishness. So God now started church. You know it's God that started church. I will build mine. And you think God did the wrong thing. And he made Peter the head of church. You know, somebody said, I cannot go to a church that one man is the head of the church. No. Even though God had apostles, who was the head of the church according to God? There must be one man that will stand. Any other denomination, no matter the kind of leadership they have, there's always one man that has the word. Final say. Else things will not go well. You cannot have congregational leadership. There must be problem. Yes, you can give people the room to decide, to suggest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But one man has to pass a verdict. God will always need one man to hit the nail on the head and say, this is how I want it to be. Human beings are human beings. From Genesis, people had a problem with leadership. Even Moses was look at what I was telling you. Miriam started it. You know, the people that did that arm above for Moses was Miriam and Aaron. Can you remember? But Aaron was not inflicted. Miriam was inflicted because she was not a priest. She was not wearing the holy robe, the white robe. But remember, after several years, something happened so funny. The leprosy was just on the head waiting for Aaron to remove his priestly regalia. The moment he just removed it, that day leprosy hit him. Boom. If he had known, you'd have wear that thing till he died. The day he removed it, the angel said, hey, you might have joined that 3 years ago. You joined. I take. These are angels in operation. I was listening to one of my members. She attended church last. So she was telling me some experiences she had. She called me. She wanted to see me because of some things she's having. So much terrible experiences. We had to pray and organize some prayers. And I said, she did not mention one part. I got excited. So I had to teach her some things at the end, even though. She said, sir, one of this morning, the person that is tormenting her life, a witch. Said, sir, she just left the house early in the morning. And the Holy Ghost told me that this person is going to do blah, 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 blah. You know? And when she picked it, she was so tired because she just returned from a journey. She just said, Lord God Almighty, in the village because she went to visit. She said, Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, angels, break her leg. Any witch that come to this house, break their leg. But she knows who she's talking to. She just say, any. Feeling the space, angels. The woman came back later in the evening with her legs broken. They were drawing her to enter her house. They said, what happened? She said, she fell. She was just crying that she fell. Only her could tell what prayer she made. Angel. Say, anybody that comes to disturb me this morning. Because she has been having demonic experiences. Several demonic experiences. Tied to even childbirth and etc. And she could just sense, she could pick it. Thanking God for what she had learned here over the years. And I said, now let's graduate you. You would have forgotten. You've not been here for a long time. There's another realm called light consciousness. Tell somebody, light consciousness. That God is a light. Now look at Sonny. Sonny is looking at this. Sonny. Hey! Let me come around here because I think these people are understanding me tonight. These people are looking for the people who are distracting the service. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. No, Sarah is not here. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Now, I said, let's come to the realm called light consciousness. Say light consciousness.
Light consciousness.
Not the realm of two fighting. We've graduated from that realm. See, let me tell you something. Do you know why a demon can do something to you and you pray that then the thing will leave? That's a childish realm. You know why? You are in the same ring with them. You are fighting. No, you are fighting. And it's your consciousness, your mentality that keeps you in that realm. Do you believe the word when it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? And that settles everything. If a man desires mastery yet no crown, he did not strive lawfully. He didn't do it according to the laws. It's not about shouting. If you like, shout Satan fire. As long as you are not thinking rightly, nothing will happen to Satan. Because everything has already happened to him that you are shouting for it to happen. Come with a consciousness and understanding that he's already defeated. You have won before you started. So you are not trying to fight him down. You are just telling him, stay where you are. Stay there. The Bible said the God of peace, Romans 6:20, has put Satan under thy feet. Satan is dust and to dust he has returned, not you. But when you start saying what belongs to Satan to you, there's a problem. And when I say this is chairs, but you know, just use your brain for a moment. Think about it. No, but the Bible said, when Adam made the wrong mistake, the Bible said, a mistake, I mean, in Genesis, the Bible said, Adam, what have you done? And the Lord told him, and Adam told the Lord, the woman you gave me. Hallelujah to Jesus. And Adam, all right, disobeyed God, right? Isn't it? And after everything, the Bible said, God speaking, you know, many don't know that God was telling him the consequence of his decision. That you are experiencing the consequences of your decision yet does not mean God will not come and show mercy. But God has to tell you the consequences of your decision yet. God said to Adam, now Adam, dust you are. And to dust you shall return. And by the sweat of thy works shall ye eat. That was a curse on Adam. Not because God wanted to curse Adam. But Adam broke the edge. And the consequences from hell came upon him. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Get me very, very right. Get me very, very right. People of God. Because when you break the edge, Satan has the legitimacy to come and hit you. But meanwhile, at that place, that junction, God still made a way. He slew a lamb. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm not excited taking you out from Adam. It's not my way, but he made a way already. And taught Adam the way. Slew a lamb and covered Adam by that lamb, you know, that slain lamb. Painting a picture that Jesus, who is the lamb that will take away the sins of the world, will come one day. And if anybody be in Christ because of his sacrifice, they become what? New creations. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Look at it firstly. People now stay in the first part of the course. They forget what Jesus has now done. Dust you are, because the Bible said the form of Adam was from the dust of the ground. His form. Adam was not from the dust of the ground. If you look at the Bible scripture very carefully, the Bible said in Genesis 1:26, God made man in his word, image. And did you see that man? There was a man created already that was not seen with the physical eyes. That's a true man of the heart that E.W. Kenyon always speaks about in his book. That's a real man. All right? The form of man is the flesh. The Bible says, and God formed man, gave man a form from the dust of the ground. So man is not his form. Man has a form, which is his body. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What was death, spiritual death? Because the Bible said, the day you eat from this tree, you will die. What was spiritual death? When Adam ate, the Bible says his eyes were open figuratively, and he saw his nakedness, and now realized he was naked, and was trying to hide himself. And God asked him, who told you you are naked? You see? Who told you you are naked? Meaning somebody lied to you, Adam. That's why you are running away. You know, you have a false identity about yourself. He now knew how that Satan can have the privilege to lie to us. God knows it. God now said, did you eat from the tree that I ordered you not to eat from? Meaning, as long as you have gone there and partook of that tree, Satan has a legitimate right to lie to you. Firstly, he said, who told you? Somebody have lied to you about your identity, that you are naked. Okay, did you pass through that route? Because that's where the guy is. Are you together? I'm trying to explain to you. Satan lied to him. Now, what was the fault? Adam is now realizing and seeing himself from the lenses of the flesh. He's interpreting himself, who is a spirit, from the lenses of the flesh. Meanwhile, the flesh was his form. The flesh is not him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So when that happened because of his disobedience, God told him the consequence of his decision. Now you are conscious and you are calling yourself flesh, dust, and to what? But if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are gone. Now somebody said, but God did not do anything to our body, soul, and spirit. He did so many times. In 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, God has perfected our spirit, soul, and body. To make it more direct, in Romans 8:11, it says, if the same spirit does what? That spirit does what? Quicken. Giving that spiritual life to your mortal body. Listen. Do you know, finally, your flesh will not be 6 feet under the ground? Do you know that? Think about it. God does not change. God never created man to bury him one day 6 feet under the ground. God took something from the earth, alright? But that thing he took from the earth, anything God touches becomes eternal. Especially because it is coagulated with an eternal nature. The spirit of man. Are we together? And that's why the Bible says, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, that spirit will what? Quicken. It will give the same life to your what? Mortal bodies. Now let's verify from scripture. And the dead in Christ shall be the first what? Put on their flesh, and they shall live on the earth for the way he wanted Adam to live forever is the way finally man will live forever. So if people die today and remain in heaven, one day they will resurrect, wear back their flesh, and live forever. Because that was God's verdict from the beginning. That's how God wants life to be. But you see, some people that didn't understand this now think man is supposed to be dust. And to dust, you are not returning to dust. You are returning to God, your maker. And he will live eternally with this flesh. In the finally, which is in the consummation of all things, the Bible said, the tabernacle of God is now with men. And it shall reign on the earth forever. That all of this journey is to the end that one day, the earth becomes God's home. And that's why Paul said to us in Romans 12 that offer your body. The word offer means to acknowledge in Greek. Acknowledge that your body are a living sacrifice. Remember I told us that in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, don't you know that your bodies at the temple. Meaning legitimately God owns our body now by his sacrifice, isn't it? So he said, since God owns our body, we should acknowledge, Romans 12, that our body are a what? Living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. And if we acknowledge that, it is because we are not being conformed to the systems of the world. Why? Because we have been transformed by the renewal of our minds. And at this junction that our minds have been renewed, we can tell the difference between right and wrongs. And the Bible puts it with three, you know, explains the will of God in three, with three adjectives there. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. These are not three categories of God's will. I've been saying this for years. These are just three adjective words, you know, explaining the will of God. That God's will that is good is the will that is what? Acceptable. And God's will that is acceptable is the will that is what? Perfect. So God does not have one gift for you that is his good will. Then he now has one gift which is his permissive will. Then he now has another gift that is his perfect will. That your God is Amadioha or Sango. It's not God Almighty. And that's why in the beginning he didn't make a mistake by creating Adam, Eve, Jacinta, and Philomena. He created what? Adam and Eve. If we are to follow scripture, I've been saying it for years, and I'll keep on saying it, that people are marrying two wives does not mean it's God's will. God bless our fathers for adding the wives they added. We don't have anything against them. But if you today, in this 21st century, choose to marry two wives, you are not a Christian. You are not. Say, I want to follow culture. Just say you like women. Stop saying culture. Say you like women. Just say you like girls. Don't be lying. Say, I want to be like my grandfather. He marry 25, I'll marry 5. Talk it. You like women. According to the Bible, one man for one woman. Say, but Solomon, what was Solomon in the Bible? Solomon na God guy. God na God friend with Solomon. So you really think, huh? God was okay with Solomon marrying what? Huh? And having, he cheated on the 700 by God. Hi. I never saw it like this. Because our concubines, I didn't interpret it like that. Solomon cheated on 700 women with 300 women. 1,000 women. My God. That's the one recorded. Because even the Bible says 1,000 elsewhere. So if it's 1,000, there may be so many we don't even know about. Meaning don't visit Solomon with your daughter or don't visit Solomon with your maid. You will marry them. What a man. Then you think God was in heaven saying, he's adding more women to the kingdom. No. No. And you should have understood that. You see, folks in the Old Testament didn't know Christ. You must understand that Jesus was revealed in the New Testament. And so since Jesus is the revelation of God, God was revealed properly in the New Testament. Meaning people in the Old Testament did not properly understand God. They understood a measure, some dimensions of God. And that's why they interpreted even life differently and wrongly. Because God Almighty revealed in Jesus is the light of life. So we can't say Solomon knew what he was doing. He didn't. And that's why God had to correct their mentality about what Elijah demonstrated as power. When people refused to receive the gospel, God did not say, let them die. When they say, call down fire like Elijah, we read it in the Bible. Call down fire. So even if you read it in the Bible, you must understand the manner of spirit you have. You must understand the dispensations. That's why Paul would take time in the last letters, last chapters of the book of Acts, showing them the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. It is very important. Because if you misunderstand the two covenants, all right, you will misunderstand God. Are you all listening to me tonight? But if you understand God properly, because Jesus speaking in Hebrews 10, he said, the will of the Father is the second covenant, never the first. And in Hebrews 8 or 7, even 7, 8, it says, if the first covenant was faultless, there will be no need for another covenant. Hebrews 7, right? That means there was fault in the first covenant. And God asked us a question through the psalmist David. He said, do you think if I wanted house, I would not create any house I want for myself? Do you think if I wanted to eat the best meat, I will not fry anyone and eat? Then he said, I have no delight in human sacrifices. You see, that means God never wanted anybody to be killing anything for him. But he wanted to school them on the real stuff that will come when Jesus is revealed. He was teaching them about Jesus while he was, you know, angels were more like, you know, instructing them on killing of lambs. That Jesus will come one day. And when John saw him, he said, behold the lamb that what? That should end every killing of lambs. That was the last day anybody should have ever killed lamb. Because Jesus now is revealed. Alright? And I went further to explain. I said, down to any physical demonstration that mirrors anything in heaven. Alright? God does not make people pure by water. God does not make people anointed by oil. If anybody be in Christ, that new creature is anointed. New creature that is not anointed, you are new, you are anointed, you are perfect. Okay, are you in Christ? Okay, come, let me pour you oil so that you become anointed. You entered into the hub of anointing, into the river of anointing, which is Christ Jesus. If you can look at that person carefully, anointing is dropping. Oil choke. Are you listening to me tonight? Now, this is not me trying to condemn anybody practicing whatever they are practicing yet. I always used to say this at the end, so that people would not think we are condemning them, because revelation is progressive. But what is sad is when you think we that are saying these things don't have brain, or we are brainless. If you look at the scripture, you will see it. One time somebody asked me, say, Pastor, why are we complicating things? Let's leave people to be entering water and let's be... I say, if God wanted it like that, he would have not wrote in scripture that it's not supposed to be like that. And I asked him, don't you think you are dishonoring God by not believing the word of God? He said, but it happened and... Even if it happened everywhere, you are seeing in scripture, it happened in some place, it didn't happen in some place. The Bible says you must rightly divide the word of truth. Don't be mixing Old Testament and New Testament. You will not see God. It's only in one covenant, the new covenant. That's the only place you find God. But if you want to see measures, some measures of God, you will see in Old Testament practices. That's what the Bible said, till date, wherever Moses is preached. If you bring Old Testament ideas into the new, the Bible said there will still be a limitation. A veil will cover the eyes of the people. But the Bible also told us that if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, he says the ministry of the righteous one. Listen now. A ministry of condemnation, something God did not approve, had glory. That paints a picture that till today, if you are practicing the old and the new, you may see some measure of glory. That does not mean that the ministry is authentic. That's what is happening here now. The church were working in some demonstration of the spirit, but yet backbiters. And I always tell people, you cannot help it. If you don't know Christ, no matter how good you want to be, you will not be good. You will not be good enough. If you don't know God, no matter how wonderful and humble you want to be, you will not be as humble enough. You may look humble, but not be as humble the way God wants you to be humble. The only factor that can determine change for human beings in the spirit and on the earth is Christ Jesus. If you fully comprehend Christ, you will become the ideal man God wants you to become. That's why the Bible said in the book of Luke 6, it said the wise builder digs the ground so that he builds his house where? On the rock. Meaning if you don't know Christ and are not standing on Christ, when the wind and the flood of life beats that building, which is you, vehemently, you will fall. Not because you don't want to stand for God. God, I don't want to do it. Not because of that. But because you are not standing on the... That is why you don't joke with the word beyond your emotions. Lord, I want to live for you. Make sure you are standing on Christ. There are many people who really love the Lord, but they cannot actualize that love. They can't live up to the standard of that love. They love God, and like Paul said in Romans 7, he was in that situation too, when he was living by a false belief, and now trying to teach his fellow brothers, the Pharisees. He said, while I was trying to live by the law, Romans 7:1, he said, I write to them that know the law, that understand the law, alright? And the word knowledge here is from the root word ginosko, which means experiential knowledge. Meaning, these people will understand me because they are living by the law, which is a false doctrine. Are we together? He said the law is good, but the law as a system is bad. What do I mean by that? The law demands that you do not do something, but does not empower you not to do it. The law is like telling a goat not to eat grass so that it makes heaven. You can't tell a goat not to eat grass so that it makes heaven. If it's by that people will make heaven, goats will never go to heaven. You can't tell a pig not to enter mud so that it makes heaven. If it's by that, pig has chosen his destination already. And I tell you, this is what has caused and raised more frustrated Christians upon the face of the earth that are today saying they don't love Jesus. It's not because they don't love Jesus. Jesus has been wrongly misinterpreted to them. The Jesus they know, or the God they know, is the one that church taught them. They have not truly encountered God. That's why when they try to do God for a while, they now come back and say, no, I want to be real. That thing is not for me. You are not being real. You were demonstrating a false understanding of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? God changes you through grace from inside out. From inside out. He demands you to live holy because he has made you holy. So you are not living holy to be approved holy. You are living holy because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has metamorphosed you as a man that is completely holy. Romans 6 explains that throughout. Colossians 3 summarizes that. He said, if you died with Christ and are buried with Christ and have resurrected with Christ, he says, set your mind, set your affections on the things above at the Father's right hand. Hey, yeah. Set them there, set them there. Don't think failure, set your heart above. Don't think weakness, because you are seated with Christ. Don't think weakness, don't think failure. Say, I don't think failure. I don't think weakness. I don't think lack. I'm seated at the right hand of power. That if you died with Christ and are buried with Christ, which has happened to you, he says, set your heart above. Verse 3 says, you've died. You have died, whether you refuse it or not. How many of you believe in Jesus in this place? You have died. He's putting it on your head, even if you don't want to die. He said, you have died. Remember, Paul is speaking to a people who are seated in church. He said, hello, see, you have all died. So, fellow dead brethren, he said, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Whoosh! My goodness. So when people begin to tell you, we die daily, they misunderstood 1 Corinthians 15. That's not what Paul was saying. See, Revelation is so powerful. If you miss it, you will suffer in this world. The price for the glory is death. You need to die. What if we tell them the price for the glory is death and you have died? You cannot carry the glory. Glory to God forevermore. Now, it sounds too good to be true. And that's why it's called the gospel. You galleon. It sounds too good to be true. No effort. We like challenge as Africans. We want to do something tough to carry the glory. People of God, before you carry this glory, there are scars you must have on your body. Sanu Jesus. Sanu. You would have died for the people and resurrected for them. They like to just hype themselves like they are modern day Pharisees with suits. Modern day Pharisees. They want every, before people look at Jesus, let them see them exalted high above the heavens. Now, Jesus, they are dragging position with Jesus with some false humility. I know what it took me to carry this anointing. Anointing that cannot tell Tinubu you are doing wrong. Those days, God will raise prophets and take them to Pharaoh. He used to send, God has stopped sending people like that. It's like, because I don't know what is happening. He will call a prophet. You say, go and meet Tinubu. Go and meet Pharaoh. Tinubu and Pharaoh, who is worse? Pharaoh. I'm not sure, but I think maybe we'll just go and do the exegesis. But I think they may be close, but Pharaoh. Say Moses. You see, the way God will complicate your life as a prophet, it will be as if God should have never called you a prophet. God will take you to people that love you, and people who think, who are always nice to you, and tell you to tell them that they are not doing well. Somebody that is giving you like 200k, God will say, go and meet that guy and tell him my word. Say, God, who will give me 200k again? Because truth is like alomo. You know, when I was growing up, my mother found out something about me. Anytime they want to do a mebo, she would say, let Simon go out first. Because as long as I'm there, it will scatter. I will start advising, why are you people talking against people? Why? This is wrong. You know, one time I told her, why do you like, you know, every mother likes a mebo, especially when they have girls in the house. Especially when they have two girls. Sometimes the mother may not be excited because the two girls are not following her footsteps. She wants children that will sit with her and tell them about Mama Ngozi and what that woman did in that other court. You know, mothers are very excited when they have those discussions. People should excuse us. We want to talk. Almost every home have that arrangement. God sometimes will take you. You know, the way Amebo has gotten to ladies, sometimes I think God has a space for righteousness in that Amebo realm. Because even the most righteous looking ladies like Amebo. Just watch a woman you respect so much. I don't know if Ketun Kuma liked it too, but I'm just wondering. Immediately there is gist. Every focus and attention is on the gister. I'm coming, excuse me. To tie their wrapper, I'm now hit the middle. Tell me something. Gist. You know, it's one mystery in my head. I've understood Bible and Christ. I've not understood that. It's still a mystery. What is in that thing? Did they put mango in there or honey? What are they putting? I'm sure I will not understand. That would be the response of somebody. Pastor, you will not understand. So we're going somewhere. Are we together? And what was I? Yes! Pharaoh! God did not tell Pharaoh to go and stand before Moses. He said, Moses, I mean, go and tell Pharaoh that he grew under, more like his father, the only father he knew was Pharaoh. He said, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. What? Moses was scared. He said, God, I'm a stammerer. I don't know if I can talk this thing. I don't even talk well. My mouth. You know, when people read that, they think Moses just... See, we all know the truth. If you look at human beings very well and calculate that thing, Moses was scared. Do you know who Pharaoh used to be? Or was? Pharaoh was a wizard, a living wizard. You know, if you go to villages, you will hear the gods of that village. Pharaoh was the gods of the village on the throne. Their god was still on their throne. He was really into sorcery, wizard. He told Moses, go and meet Pharaoh. Tell him. Nobody knew Pharaoh like Moses. Oh. Nobody knew how terrible and wicked and a killer Pharaoh is than Moses. That's why Moses first said, I did stammer. I don't know if he talk well. My mouth, you know, they move well, my mouth. God said, no problem. Aaron, go and help Moses to say. So if you go there now, you not say, of course, if Moses was, is it Aaron that will now go and mess up? Aaron will say, Pharaoh, my chairman say, in God say, I'm not sure Aaron will even go through that stress. He will just interpret. God say you should let his people go. Moses said you should let the people go. He went and stood before Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. That's the God me I know. See, this thing has, I'm getting tired. I can't keep it anymore. I tried to keep it for a long time. It's not working. If this is what will take us to hell, let's start moving to hell now. If saying this, because I'm wondering, what of Jesus and the Pharisees and the church he attended? He was schooling elders at age 8. At age 8. was interfaced with certain people who say, are you greater than our father Moses and Abraham? He answered them. He told them, Moses said that because of the hardness of your heart. Moses was not right. He only was afraid of you people. Jesus did not go to hell. Are you listening to me? He's God. He's our standard. Are you listening to me? When Micaiah came and said, Thus says the Lord. And Zedekiah said, through which way did the Holy Spirit follow? He said, in the secret place. In the secret place, I saw a lying spirit in your mouth, which I see today in the lives of certain men of God in this country. I was talking to one of my friends. I said, that's a lying spirit there. That's a lying spirit there. Somebody now is telling us that we are all Nigerians, so forget, don't be putting anything on pastors. You have the impetus to tell us such a thing. But during election, you have mouth to tell us David is coming later. This person have come. I've forgotten the name. So God can talk about who will win election. Now that life is choking people. And I tell you the truth. I may not sound nice or like a righteous Christian. Nobody should come and do crusade in your state if they cannot talk to the president about what is happening in your state. Is it not lives that people that are alive that can be saved? You can't talk about people dying. You want to talk about what the heck? You want to save those? You come and preach gospel, then we'll die. Thank God. I posted something today. I said, thank God for real prophets. When you see a prophet, nobody needs to tell you, you know. They don't used to make words sound sweet. When a coward, there's this coward in the north that stood up recently and said, we are infidels as Christians. One old looking like a cow. I can't even tell who he is. Living hell on earth already. Called all of us infidels. Not educated. Muslim, bigot. This is what men of God are keeping quiet to in this country. Their state, like Bauchi said, they are saying they want to implement Quran teaching in the whole state. Meaning both Christians and Muslims will learn Quran in school. Nigeria is living a very funny life. That somebody can be in the state and have this autonomy. I want to do what I want. Beyond the constitution. That inside our country, there's Nigerian constitution that is following, is at the back of Sharia constitution. After Sharia constitution, whatever I want to do is at the mercy of Sharia constitution. Thank God, God is raising people. See, forget it, Nigeria will not fail. I've been saying this for years. Nigeria will never be divided. I know what I'm telling you. It will look like it wants to be divided, but it will never be divided. Even in the north, there are wonderful people rising. I will not deny that. Speaking against this evil. Thank God for what God is doing in Burkina Faso today. He has raised a giant. You people don't know his God, right? Because he planned coup. The man said, some people ran away from Burkina Faso to go and learn Arabic. He said they should not come back to the country. Wherever they are, they should practice what they've learned there. That he needs people who understand sciences to come and develop the country. When some malams in this country said they will not agree, they started preaching violence. He arrested all of them. Lock them up. When they beg, he released them. Some started that same preaching area. He said 30-30 stroke of Canaan, be 50-50 stroke. You preach, they bring you to government house, they flog the hell out of you. Everybody have sense now in Burkina. Everybody. Clean preaching. Clean preaching. Go, you can even enter a mosque and be motivated by righteousness in its essence, right? Just be telling you, live good life, morality. Nobody is saying, hey, Muhammad, you know, if you insult Muhammad, kill him. Nobody is saying that rubbish there. Recently, he said, if he catch anybody praying on the streets, nobody is doing Allahu Akbar on the street. Nobody in Burkina Faso. Try it and see. I've never really spoken about this Muslim ticket of a thing. Because I'm scared. People may start thinking we are being religious. But look at it. What the hell is happening? What the hell is happening? Look at what is happening. If it's not a Muslim ticket, who will have the mind to be suggesting some of these stupid things happening? That somebody is saying something like that, the governor of Kano State raised his hand. He was excited. Muslim, Muslim, ticket, Muslim. As if Christians are not in Kano. You can now tell why they can kill Christians there. I can't begin to mention the cases. An evangelist just going for money evangel. They killed her. They hit her head. Carry stone. Hit her like they killed people in the Bible. Stephen. Broke her head. Skull was outside. Well, the sub leader of chairman of PFN, that they killed like that. Killed him with stones in a country like this called Nigeria. Let's not go too far. What of Deborah? See, today that lady, no justice. Because she said Muhammad is stupid or whatsoever, they killed her. And I keep on asking the question, if I think Muhammad is stupid, did I kill you? It's a question. Did I insult you? If the Muhammad is powerful, let him come and kill me. And nobody is talking. We have PFN. We can talk. We have some so-called father of faith. I've been saying it. I told to my friend. I said, if people are wise, don't allow some of these guys come. They'll kill now. Don't worry. God forbid. But as you mean they kill, like you have seen the last times. The best, they will not climb their podium and talk. The next thing they'll do is share a bag of rice for the ones that remain. The next event you see them is in government house praying for the same criminals. Meanwhile, in those days, God will tell Moses, go to the White House. He'll go there. He'll say, tell the president, let my people go. Let my people go. I have seen the sufferings of the people. And it's enough. What people are experiencing in Egypt, Nigeria currently is worse than that. Go and read your Bible, people of God. I'm not lying. At least they were slaves. If they were not enjoying, they will not tell Moses, take us back to Egypt. We are suffering in this wilderness. Have you anybody that leave this country and say, I want to come back? Meaning wilderness. Nigeria is wilderness. Let me put it like that. We are seeing it. Then the same God that said to Moses, go and tell, will not tell today. Is it not the same yesterday, today, and forever? He will not tell somebody, go and tell Tinubu you are not doing well. You know, I told some people something one time. I said, I can't live like a coward upon the face of the earth. I really think a lot of Nigerians are behaving like cowards. And a lot of men of God are behaving like cowards. That's really what I really think. If you want to kill me for saying the truth, why are you wasting time? But I can't survive the earth seeing nonsense happening and not talk. I can't be able to survive. I think I will die before you even kill me. Why in a place that they say if you even say the truth, they'll come and stop. What can you stop? And this problem starts from all of us sitting here. Well, I've been saying, go and do your voters' cards. Some of you say, if I vote, they will not count the vote. You are part of the problem. Go and do your voters' card. Let's remove this wicked government from seat. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If we don't make effort, God cannot help us. And if your father is a politician, your mother, whatever, and you are thinking you are speaking against your party, we are truly speaking against your party. They are not doing well. Go and talk to them. Are you listening to me tonight? They are not doing well. Once in a while, the Holy Ghost moves like this. And I truly cannot help it. But a lot is not right. A lot. I've seen the hypocrisy and I'm fed up. I told my friend 2 days back, 3 days back, I think over a week ago, I said, God cannot be talking about faith conference in this season. Talking about so-so this, so-so that in this season without talking about something that is most important. You know one funny thing somebody posted one time? Actually, people can be crazy. He said, none of the apostles ever spoke against the killing of the church. I said, there, Jesus. So it is legitimate for no man of God to speak against the killing of the church. I said, listen, God spoke against the killing of the church. God stopped Paul from traveling to go and kill Christians in Damascus. Now, if Jesus stopped Paul and spoke against the killing, we don't need to wait for anybody, even though what you are saying is not true. We don't need to wait for anybody to vet our speaking against the killing. God told Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you killing my people? You are touching me. In other words, they are touching God's people today, and nobody is saying anything. Listen carefully. The way we do Christianity is in the north. We are not really in core north. We are in middle belt. But if you follow that kind of mentality, you will truly not grow. I have friends who are there, and I can tell you firsthand, you will truly not grow. I always have been saying this. The real-time Christians are in the north. And if we don't join our voices today to speak against evil, God will ask us tomorrow. Do you know that as they are killing people like this, people are still going to that church on Sunday? In Cornwall? They are still going. Meditate. Think. That's why some of you who are not winning souls today say you don't have time. You should go and cry to the Lord after this service. That if people are in the bush suffering for the name of the Lord, what are you doing in town? Crying. In fact, some maybe service will just go over 30 minutes. They'll start squeezing their face like bread that they press into two. Pastor is chopping into my time. I suppose supplies goods somewhere. People are smuggling Bible and going to do evangelism. It's only goods. Yes, yes. Shame on you. Go and cry. Go to the. Just look at God and say, God, let me cry for my sin. Cry. Amati saw me the other day speaking to a missionary in Maiduguri. I could not sit down. My legs were literally shaking. I lie down on the ground. I just started crying. When I heard things people are doing for God, shame catch me. Then you see somebody sit down in the city of Makodi. Why are you not in church? Pastor Peter shout for me. You get the way Pastor Peter talks to people. I didn't enjoy it. He should speak to me and give me ice cream. Why are you not going for evangelism? Sir, I need to open my shop. There are some key customers. If you see, if God show you what you look like in the realm of the spirit, when you give certain excuses, you are like, you know, when you say those kind of things, you are like, Shekinah is too grown. You know when children cannot talk and they do, that's what you behave like in the realm of the spirit. It means you don't know life. Just like this, business has closed, they've shared your property. You see people dragging your property in your shop. Let me go carry that one. I mean, you'll be like, I just died how many days ago. What did God tell the rich man? He said, okay, you want to enjoy what you are. Okay, no problem. Enjoy, let's see. Enjoy. Have time for God. Are you listening to me? Have time. People are doing worse, bigger things for God. You, it's time. Hallelujah to Jesus. So go back home today and I say what? Repent. Paul said, check yourself to see that you are in the faith. Go back home, meditate on your life. See where you have missed it. Tell God, have mercy on me. Are you here tonight? The Lord bless his words in our hearts. Bow your heads and pray. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Shabako subragadia kabaradosh. I'm struggling to sing this song in my spirit, but the Lord keeps on raising the song. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. For no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. No weapon formed against me. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You are assuring yourself of the victory of Christ. That no weapon formed against me, weapon of demonic darkness, weapon of wrong ideologies against me, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I won't buy into Satan's ideologies from henceforth. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, yeah. No weapon, thank you Holy Ghost, formed against us, yeah, shall prosper. Yeah. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. But no weapon formed against me, oh, shall prosper. Yeah. For no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, yeah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. Whoosh. No weapon formed against me, formed against my mind shall prosper. Yeah. No weapon formed against me, Jesus, shall prosper. For it will fail. It will fail. now. And the whole weapon. I just feel we should declare the protection of God upon us. All against me shall prosper. Yeah. No weapon. Speak it against. Oh, speak it over your family. Over your business. Speak it against yourself. Again, speak it for yourself, I mean. No weapon formed against my family shall prosper. Every wrong thoughts, wrong thoughts, demonic thoughts, my family stands secure. I am protected in the name of the Lord. In righteousness, I'm established. In righteousness, I'm far from oppression. I'll never be found thinking outside of God's thoughts. They will never come that day. They'll be thinking outside of God's thoughts. Never. Always aligned by the Spirit. Oh, go ahead and pray. Yeah. It will fail. 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 I know that it will fail. It will fail. Yeah. It has failed. It has failed. It has failed. No. It has failed. It will fail. It has failed. It will fail. No. Woo. 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 But no weapon formed against me and my family shall prosper. I am a Kaya. Anything Satan is thinking against me and my family, it will fail. It has failed, Lord. It will fail. It will fail. It will fail. It has failed. It will fail. And it has failed. Certainly it will fail. Yeah, yeah. But no weapon. I feel it so strongly. Lift up your hands and declare protection over your family this season. Just declare it. Declare it over yourself. No weapon. Hey, Abba Karaba. The protection of God is all over us. It is all over us. All of us. Surrounded by so mighty a cloud of witnesses. Innumerable multitude of angels. Woo! Hey, Abba Karaba Yakonda. It will fail. It will fail. It will fail. It will fail. It has failed. Oh. It will fail. Arakabaya. It will fail. Yeah. It will fail. thought. Subject that wrong thought in your heart. Subject it tonight. Those thoughts of fear. Those thoughts of failure. Those thoughts of death. Death. Subject them now. Subject them. Subject them. Subject them now. 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 It has failed. It has failed. Speak Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Speak Jesus, speak Jesus. Yeah, yeah. It will fail. Shara ba 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 ba. Jesus on the mountain, Jesus on the street, Jesus in the over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the mighty name, Jesus. Shout Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy mighty name, Jesus. Ah, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear and every anxiety. Declaring Lord Jesus. Some of us by faith tonight, you will take that brother and sister and bring them in the way of the Lord. By faith, take them. Now it's high time for this thing to stop, that you are in that family and everybody wants to live their life. No. You have come to the mountain of responsibility. And you can pray things into existence. You can pray things. We are going to be praying and never be disappointed by the events, the things we see physically.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is...
Whoosh!
Break every... Shine in the dark. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus on the mountain. Jesus on the street. Jesus in the darkness. Over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the mighty name, holy name. Jesus.
For some of us, this reality has not dawned on our spirit. That there are certain people in our homes who are not truly born again. And we've been lukewarm about it. We're going to pray tonight for our family. And say, God, this brother, you all know, that sister, Lord, touch them tonight. Go ahead and pray. Pray from the depth of your heart. I have faith that you will touch them tonight. Go ahead and pray.
Jesus, for my family, I speak the mighty name, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus, for my family, I speak the name, I speak the name, Jesus. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
A change comes from my generation, from my family, to the family that will rise from me. Can that be a burden in our heart this evening?
That I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no right to come near my family. No scheme could ever undo God's plan. The cross has sealed my destiny. I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no right to come near my family. No scheme could ever undo God's plan. No matter the circumstance, the cross has sealed my fate. In the mighty name of Jesus, calling on the power of every breath of thunder,
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.gloryinternational.org. www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.